Well, good morning, everyone.
Yeah, we will get started.
Delight to have our part of our old family with us today. That's great. And he's always with us, so let's bow our heads before him and pray. Father, what an honor and joy it is to gather. You are the reason, Lord, and you are the season. You are forever. We thank you for your precious word, and we thank you for this time to share it this morning once again and then to pray to you. So may you be honored in each of our hearts, and may we be totally given over to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in 1 John, as you know, working our way through in kind of a abbreviated, not a study really, but just to go over these scriptures a little bit to ingrain them in our brains and in our minds just a little bit more. So I thought the responsive reading as I was listening to the tape from last week went very well on the alternating, and it seemed like everybody was really into the word. And it's hard to let your mind wander too much if you've got to read every other verse, right? So those of you who would like to stand, let's stand and read his word. And if you would like to stay seated, and that's fine too. And I'll read we're going to be looking at the third chapter again, beginning in verse 4, and we're going to go to verse 23. So I'll read the even-numbered verses, and then if you would come in on the odd-numbered verses, that would be great. Verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness.
And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin.
Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him.
Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous.
He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God.
In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother.
For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous.
Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you.
We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death.
Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?
My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
And by this we know that we are of the truth,
for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things.
Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God.
And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment.
Here ends the reading for today. Father, thank you for your precious word. Write it deep on our hearts, Lord, and may we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we look at these words here, we have, I think, 9 times in these few verses, we have this word sin mentioned. So we have very clear definition of sin. I didn't count righteousness. There's a number of times it's mentioned. Love is about 7 times in these few verses. But we're going to look at 6 verses on sin and the child of God, and then 6 verses on the imperative of love, and then 8 verses on the outworking of love. And so, of course, we have so much about love in this little epistle here, and it's really black and white. We don't have much gray things in this epistle. John speaks it through the Spirit very bluntly and very directly, and there's very little wiggle room in these verses. So we are either in it or we're not in it. You know, it's not like, well, I'm doing part of it. Well, if you're not doing all of it, you're not doing all of it. And part of it is better than none, I guess. But if you do part of it, then you're probably partly in the light and partly in the darkness. So that's not a good place to be either. But verse 4 says, identifies it very clearly, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Now, that word commits means practices. Actually, in verse 7, it's translated as practices, the same word. But that doesn't mean that if you occasionally sin, it means you're practicing lawlessness. To practice lawlessness, you must be practicing sin. But you certainly don't want to be practicing sin, because then you are practicing lawlessness. And it identifies very clearly that lawlessness is sin, or sin is lawlessness. So if you're not being obedient to the Lord, you're in sin. Simple as that. And we know that the Bible says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so a really good test is how much we love the Lord is how obedient we are to his word. And you say, I love the Lord with all my heart, but no, I'm not so obedient to his word. Well, you really don't love the Lord then. So this is pretty clearly given to us here, it seems like. Now, why did he reveal himself? And you know that he was revealed or manifested. Why? Listen to this, as you know, to take away our sins. He was revealed to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Beautiful. Verse 6, whoever abides in him, that means abiding, you know what that means? That means in him continually. It doesn't mean just visiting him. You know, we've got some visitors from up north today. That's wonderful. So glad you're here. But you're not abiding here anymore. You're abiding up there. I mean, as far as that goes, it's not quite the right use of the word abiding. You know what that means. But whoever abides in him, in Christ, does not sin. So you say, well, I'm abiding in Christ, but I sin sometimes. I guess I'm not inviting. No, you're abiding in him. This means you do not live in sin. If you abide in him, you cannot live in sin if you're saved. The Holy Spirit won't let you. And you can kind of test yourself a little bit. If every time you sin, you really get hammered by your conviction and all, that's a good place to be. If you're in sin and it doesn't even bother you, that's not so good, because that's the mark of an unbeliever. Yeah, but I believe, but I still like to do this sin on the side, and I'm just going to continue to do it. Well, it really means you're not a believer, because you can't do that and be a believer. Now, you may backslide for a short time, and it has all the earmarks of apostasy, but a backslider will always come back. The apostasy never comes back, so We don't want to split hairs too finely here. I think you know what this means. Abiding in him is what we want. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices, here we got the same term, commits. He who practices righteousness is righteous. So are you practicing righteousness? If you are, then you're righteous. If you're not, you're not righteous. It's as simple as that. All of these verses go both ways. Just as he is righteous. Verse 8, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was revealed or manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So he came, we read up in the beginning there, he came to take away our sins, and here it says he came to destroy as well. He came to destroy the works of the devil. So he is always righteous, the devil is always unrighteous. In Jesus is no sin, in the devil is sin continually. So you look at your life and you can really see whether you're in the devil or whether you're in Christ by what you're doing, right? I mean, it's not a mystery in that regard, it seems to me. Verse 9, whoever's been born of God does not sin. Now again, that means does not continually sin and stay in it. If you've ever been around pigs, pigs love mud holes. Now, if you fall in a mud hole, which we do occasionally, spiritually, we want to get up and get cleansed ourselves by what? Confessing and repenting and turning back to the Lord, right? But a pig doesn't want to do that. A pig wants to stay in the mud. So if you put that illustration back to sin, we've got a pretty good picture there, it seems to me. Now we're going to talk about the imperative, the requirement of love. And basically we're going to be looking at, is the evidence of love in your life, is the evidence of hate in your life? You can't have both. You're either going to be overcome by hatred, or love will overcome hatred, but you can't be in love and still hate. It doesn't work that way. See what we read in these six verses. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are made known, manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So we got two requirements there. Practicing righteousness and loving one another. You got to have both of those to be in where you want to be. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. We've always had love one another as you love yourself, right? This is the message we've had from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, we will be told before we're done here that now we have a higher standard in the New Testament than in the Old. The New Testament has, we're to love one another as we have been loved. Now that is a much higher standard than loving yourself. I mean, I know we all love ourselves. So that's a pretty high standard too, to love others as we love ourselves. But a total self-sacrificial love in what we see in our Lord, because he gave his life for us. So I don't know if any of you have given your life for anybody else or whether you ever will physically, but I do think we need to give ourselves over to prayer for the lost, because they so need life, don't they? Verse 11, this is the message that you heard from the beginning, I said, and that's what it is, loving one another, not as the firstborn son. I don't know which was born son. I think Cain was, wasn't he? And I think he was. I don't know. Anyway, one of them was born before the other, Cain and Abel. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. Not a good way to start out in the family, is it? And why did he murder his brother? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Or just put down a four-letter word there, envy. He was envious. And that transmitted to hate. Hate transmits to, or really that transfers to anger, I guess, and then hatred, and then hate translates on to murder. That's what it ends up if that is left to simmer there. That's what happened with Cain and Abel. Verse 13, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We're told over and over again, because they hated him, you think they're not going to hate us. you're going to be hated by the world. If you're not hated by the world, if you show up on the magazine as Man of the Woman or Month, I would check real quickly. We don't want to be heralded by the world, which the world will not herald us as great if we're really, if it's standing for the Lord, because the world hates that good. Verse 14, we know that we pass from death to life. That's pretty dramatic, isn't it? How do we know we pass from death to life is because we love one another. He who does not love his brother stays or abides in death. Pretty clear. Verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. So you may say, well, I really hate this person, but I've never killed anybody. Well, now that in the New Testament, that's known as murder. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, again, that does not say that a murderer cannot be saved. But a person who murders and continues to murder is not saved, because they couldn't continue to murder if they were saved. The Spirit wouldn't let them. Verse 16, now we can talk about outworking of love. How does my love show in my life? Verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Again, very clear teaching, isn't it? Verse 17, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. Of course, that's all consistent to our whole life, isn't it? We need to be demonstrating what we believe and not just talking about it, right? Walking the walk, so to speak, talking the talk as we talk. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him, because you're loving one another and abiding in him. Verse 20 is a tester, really. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So condemnation is always a potential problem. You know, when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit, it feels just the same as the condemnation from the evil one, really. But the test, as we know, is does that condemnation or that conviction draw you closer to the Lord than it's from the Lord? If it pushes you away from Jesus, then it's from the devil. So we all feel condemnation at times, but we don't really see the whole picture like God sees us. And we see here God is greater than our heart, greater than what you feel, and he knows all things. He knows all things. He always has. He always will. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So if you stay living in condemnation, you're in a bad place. That's not where the Lord wants you. That's where Satan wants you. Because as long as you're condemning yourself, you're not going to be much of a witness to anybody else. You can't shine your light if you've got to douse in your own light, right? Verse 22, for whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and, there's two things there, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So we're obedient and we are doing those things that he has for us to do. Verse 23, and this is the commandment that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. So that beautiful verse there summarizes the whole thing, doesn't it? Two things. We should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should love one another as he gave us commandment. Father, we thank you for your clear teaching. It is just really hard not to understand as we read these verses and ponder on them a bit, and help us to spend that time maybe this next week, we're getting into the Christmas season, and we have much to thank you for, and help us to have this self-reflection as where are we in the loving and maybe the hatred, or maybe doing what, not doing what you have. We say we believe, but we really don't do these things of honoring you, being righteous, staying in righteousness, and loving one another. Lord, help us to pray now as we have a few moments to pray, and as you would lead us, and we would all be in one because we have one Spirit leading us. And we have one head of the body here, and that is you, Lord Jesus. So guide us now in prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I do pray for your protection today at the Army-Navy game, and I know that there have been an unusually high number of officials there from the government. We have a president who is very pro-commander-in-chief, and I know he's going to be there, and the vice president, I believe, and Mike Johnson's going to be there, and I believe John Thune and a lot of senators and reps. And Lord, I do pray for them. They are way behind schedule because of that shutdown and working 20-hour days and those kinds of things. But asking for prayer, and it is such a beautiful thing to watch you working through them. So, Lord, may we be in prayer, Lord, and we will not always have those government leaders in place, but we thank you for them, and we pray that we would support them, and that you would continue to see the heart of the nation moving toward you, not away from you. We ask in Jesus' name.
Jesus, hopefully Dad will be not sick, and hopefully he'll be safe, and hopefully have a good time on a journey back to home on Sunday, and are safe. Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, maybe there's a test for all of us, at least looking at what John has said here in verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And Father, as we move and go about and do what you call us to do, whatever it might be, Lord, if we're not doing the right thing, it's pretty obvious, you're not with us. And so just pray that whether it's business, whether it's work with your family, whatever it might be, that we would recognize, Lord, your goodness and your work in us to do what is right.
And Father, as we mindful that we ourselves and all that Lord and godly saints and the Holy Word and how they humble themselves, they all include themselves, even Daniel, we have sinned. And Father, when we say that when we see the government and all that goes on, and Father, in that Lord letter, and that we were also once were foolish, disobedient, serving various lusts and good pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God and love of God, our Savior, poor man
appeared.
Oh, Father, it is just so great. And Father, help us, Lord. And we were all once, we were dead in trespasses. No one, everybody. Whether Jews and Gentiles that we were once with that Lord. And so Father, may we indeed have a compassionate and lowly in heart. And Father, as your words, thus says the Lord, and high and low, and Father, lofty one, he whose name is holy, I inherit the eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in high and holy place, but with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. And Father, to revive the spirit of humble, and to revive the contract one. And another place, last same book, I dwell in heavens, And heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Yeah. Where is the house you build me? Where is the place of my rest? Mm-hmm. And with him in I have created all things and there exist. And with him who has humbled and trembled at my word. And Father, make us to be humble, and as our Lord Jesus and how he came to this world. And Father, may indeed be meditate and contemplate, and Father Jesus Christ and crucified, O Lord, as we've been taught and this morning once again, love. And Father, you've given us the great commandments. Love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love others and as yourself. This is the greatest commandments. We all, Father, have sinned. And Father, there is none righteous, right. No, not one. There is none understand, and there is no sick. That be this whole list of the your Lord and exceedingly sinfulness of 14 all the way. And Father, the last, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. And Father, whatever the world is, because of sin, there is no fear of God. Mm-hmm. And Father, how we can have a fear of God, we must meditate the word. And Father, drawn to the word, nothing else. Even the wisest man is Solomon. And Father, he seek wisdom, and you give it to him. And all the riches, Lord, and we may need, learn to seek first kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. And Father, help us, Lord. And Father, what is the priority? What is, Lord? And Father, please, Lord. And Father, help me. Help us, Lord, truly. And Father, may we indeed, and Father, extreme our desire, salvation of the souls, Lord. And Father, may we not point at all those people, and we were like that, yeah. But by the grace of God, and yeah. Help us to have a compassionate heart. And Father, through your Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because your compassion fail not. Yes. They are new every morning. Great mm-hmm. is your faithfulness, O Lord. Father, even apostle of the great man, the man of God, and Father, as we sing the rock of ages and clap for me, and Father, only we can hear that, see that the your mighty name, and Father, may we indeed set our love to you, may we know that name, and Father, that name, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in goodness and mercy, keeping mercy for thousands. That's what we are saved, O Lord. And Father, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and only by the blood of Jesus. Oh, Father, no one can understand that it is just too, it's extreme. It is no one. The Trinity of God and the power of the blood of Christ Jesus who have us to enter the Holy of Holies, O Father, may we indeed examining ourselves whether we are in the faith, whether we love our enemies as ourselves. O Father, help us, Lord. Yes. Have mind of Christ. That's what I long for, O Lord. And Father, it is Almighty God even swears, saying that, thus is said, Lord, and as I live, I have no pleasure. The wicked one died in their sin. And Father, once and twice and three times you have said, and Father, as we talk and love and joy and peace, and Father, it is all your promise, Lord. And Father, these things I have spoken to you that you may have my joy and fulfill them in themselves. Great peace, those who love your law and nothing caused them to stumble. Father, we may learn, even Jacob prayed, O Lord, and Father, 6 years old. And Father, how beautiful it is, Lord. And Father, they can pray. And Father, help us, Lord. And Father, it's not that cute. It is the spirit in the Jacobs, Lord. And Father, may we indeed see that the mother's role, and Father, may indeed have a heart. And my old age, and Father, I long to have a second generation or third generation, fourth generation. Mm-hmm. They may indeed be all drawn to Jesus. I know Jacob can say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the nobody, not the Bible tells me so. And Father, may indeed bring the Bible back to individual life, And read it, O Lord, read and search, Lord, O Father. Help us, Lord, be humble, humble before all men, showing all humility to all men, as Abraham did, as Isaac did, as Jacob did, and everyone, O Lord. Father, may we indeed be humble, and that is what I long for. That is I most the chiefest pride person, Lord. Father, help me, O Lord, day by day. You've given us the Holy Spirit that I may mortify the deeds of the body that I may live. And you've given us the Holy Spirit. And Father, He's the Holy Spirit is the one who will apply the blood of Jesus in our hearts, Lord. Mm-hmm. So Father, I just ask this Christmas time, and Father, may we indeed see Jesus who came to this earth. And as we read this third chapter, it so clearly said that, Lord, destroy the work of the devil. And Father, victory is ours. As not long ago Saturday, we sang then, Father, the victory is that the battle belongs to the Lord. May we indeed, Lord, not the word. We are so much talk. And Father, help us to, Lord, silent before you, O Lord, and Father, to look around and may we indeed be a fragrance of Christ Jesus, and Father, be a salt. Oh, Father, melt it away. No one can see, but they can see and taste the Lord. And so, Father, I just thank you for these precious saints and put up with me. And then, Father, I know that there are a lot of things to lift it up. And, Father, I just long to have all lovers of your word and doers of your word, just for the glory of God. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's stand, if you would, please. And there's one Christmas carol here that has some action to it, is that, Oh, Come, Let Us Adore Him. So just wanted to emphasize again the victory that we have because He came, and the victory that we're having because of what He's going to do when He comes the second time. He'll take care of all of this stuff. We don't have to dwell on it. It's here. But we really should be standing in victory. Not standing in defeat and saying, oh, such crazy times, oh, so terrible. It's not at all. It's a wonderful time. Thank the Lord for these times. And thank the Lord that He's done it all. That's really it. So let us praise Him and adore Him. Oh, come, all ye faithful.
Oh, come, all ye faithful.
Father, we thank you. Oh, if we could just witness like that, people would flock to you, Lord. They would want to participate in that glory that you have made available for every single one of us, Lord, and every single person, if they would just turn to you. So, Lord, help us to proclaim that as we go with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.